You know, reaching the world is a big task. Almost 8 million people, more people being born every single day, 320,000 people by the time we go to sleep tonight at 11:59, 320,000 new people will be brought into this world. You know, sometimes the task of reaching the world, the Great Commission, can seem like a big task. I mean, was God really serious when He said every creature? How do you start? I mean, how do you reach the entire world? I mean, even if we just said something like reaching Jupiter, Florida, or Palm Beach, Florida, how in the world can we do such an incredible task? You know, in Luke chapter number 15, God wanted to teach us a little bit about missions. Why? Because Jesus planned to reach the entire world, didn't He? I mean, that's His goal, and that's what He's done. The name of Jesus Christ heard around the world, the way of salvation. And Jesus summed up the entire concept of reaching the world into a little story that He gives us here. And I want to help us with a principle. I call it the starfish principle. And this principle may be able to help us in understanding how to do what God has called us to do in reaching the world. So I want to tell you about it. There was a bad storm one night that had tossed thousands of starfish onto the beach. As the sun began to rise, an old man was walking and noticed a starfish that would be killed by the heat of the rising sun. As he walked, he came upon a young boy. The young boy was picking up starfish as quickly as possible and taking them to the water and tossing them back in. The old man watched the young boy pick them up one by one, and he stared up the beach to thousands that he would never reach in time. Finally, he approached the boy. "What are you doing?" the old man said, but the boy just continued on. "There are thousands of starfish on the beach," he continued. "Why do you waste your time throwing them back in? You're not making a difference." The little boy never even looked up, but as he continued running them down to the water, he said, "It'll matter to this one. It'll matter to this one. It'll matter to this one." You know, when you think of the thought of reaching the world, well, can we reach everybody in time? Well, I don't know, but you know what I do know? I know that it matters to every single one that we share the good news of Jesus Christ with. And that's the lesson that Jesus was teaching in Luke chapter number 15. So if you would read with me together, if you would stand with me, we're going to read a few verses here from Luke chapter number 15. And I hope to preach a message to you this evening entitled, "It Matters to This One." It matters to this one. The Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time that we can spend in your word. God, I pray that you would help us tonight as we look to your word for instruction, for guidance, for help, for counsel. Lord, reaching the world is a big task, but Lord, that's exactly what you've called us to do. So God, I pray that you would help us, that you would challenge our hearts from the word of God to be busy about that task. Lord, I pray that you would take me as your servant, that you would empty me of any self and any sin. Lord, there's nothing that I can say that can help anyone here tonight, but Lord, your words and your Holy Spirit can help. So God, I pray that as I speak with my mouth, Lord, that you would speak to hearts, that you would do the work that only you can do, Lord, that your name would be honored, glorified, and lifted up. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it's amazing how the Pharisees never had anything but criticisms for Jesus. Yet every time Jesus went anywhere, they were always there to criticize him. You know, doesn't it seem that way in life? It seems like for some reason the people around you don't do anything but criticize, yet they never leave you alone. They're always standing around to look at everything that you do, and they always have something to say about it. You know, they looked at him and they said, "What are you doing?" You know, if Jesus was a real prophet, if he was a really godly man, he would know these people that are around him. He would know that these people are sinners, that he shouldn't associate with them. I mean, with all of the publicans and the harlots and the drunkards that Jesus associates with, does he really think it's making a difference? I mean, does he really think that these people are getting any better? I mean, if he really wanted to make a difference, he would spend time with us, the Pharisees, the righteous ones. He would spend time with us, teaching us, and it would make a difference in our lives. But it's not making a difference in the lives of these people. He's wasting his time. He's wasting his life. And it was to these people, notice that the Bible says that Jesus didn't look up and talk to the disciples. He didn't look up and talk to the publicans and the sinners. Jesus looks up at the Pharisees, at the righteous ones, and he says, "Let me tell you a parable. Let me give you a story. And I want you to think about this story because it helps. It's going to help you to understand." Jesus says, "My mission." He looks at them and he says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it?" You know, when I read this question, if you've ever read this parable or if you've ever read this question for yourself, I don't know about you, but I'm always the person in the class that always has to raise their hand and ask the teacher for clarification. Do we have any teachers tonight? Don't you hate that kid in the class that whenever you ask a question, they want to raise their hand and say, "But what about this?" Well, that's me in the class. And I want to raise my hand when Jesus says, "Which of you, having 99 sheep, if you lose one, doesn't go into the wilderness to find that one that's lost?" And I always want to raise my hand and ask Jesus a question. And the question is really simple. The question that I want to ask Jesus is, "Excuse me, Jesus, I just want to know, do I own the sheep or am I just being paid to watch them?" Isn't that a good question? Because if Jesus looks at me and he says, "Which one of you wouldn't go into the wilderness?" I would say, it matters if I own them or not. Because in order for one to be worth the effort, I have to have some vested interest in that one. You know, if any of you own a business here, you know the difference between the owner and the worker mentality. Maybe if you manage a business, if you're a manager at your job, you know the difference between the manager and the worker. The worker always asks, "How much do I have to do wrong to lose my job?" Right? The owner never asks that. They say, "How much can we do to do better? How can we increase what we're doing?" The worker looks and they say, "How bad do I have to be before you'll actually get rid of me?" And see, I believe that that's the question that we really have to ask ourselves here. Jesus, if you want to know if I would go out into the wilderness to find one sheep, I need to know if I own the sheep or if I just work for the guy that owns them. See, I believe that it's that mentality that sometimes we take into serving God. See, the military understands this. In combat situations, leaders often have to choose between options where no one perfect solution where no one solution is perfect. Each side will lead to casualties or cost their unit. For example, when the advancement of troops is halted by a minefield, in men and military operations, the speed of advancement is more important than the safety of the soldiers. Thus, the minefield must be breached, even if it means some casualties. On a larger strategic level, there's a limit to how many casualties a nation's military or public are willing to withstand when they go to war. You know, if we're going to go to war, the first thing we want to know is, are we going to win? How many people is it going to cost us? How many troops are going to be involved? And we all kind of judge in our heads whether or not that amount of loss is worth it. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says there's no such thing as an acceptable loss. Jesus says, if I would lose one sheep, I would go back out. Why? Because one is worth the effort. One is worth the effort. See, when Jesus looks at you and he looks at me, he says, one is worth the effort because I would do anything to get to that one. See, if you remember the story of David, remember David? You ask yourself, did David own the sheep? No, they were his father's sheep. But what did David do when the lion came to get one of the sheep? David says, I went out there and I killed that lion. What did David do when one of the bears tried to get the sheep? He says, I went out and I killed that bear. Why did he do that? Because David cared as much as his father did for the sheep. Do you realize that God wants us to care as much as He does for that lost one that's out there that needs help, that needs hope? God doesn't want us to have the mentality of someone that works for the business. He wants us to have the mentality of the owner of the business, that this is one of God's children and that one is worth the effort. Isn't that the example that we have of Jesus Christ? In Luke chapter number 9, verse number 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that He should be received up, that's crucified, He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. Aren't you thankful that when the time came for Jesus to go to the cross, Jesus didn't look and say, wow, I don't know about that. Man, give me a little more time to think about it. The Bible says that Jesus knew where He was going and He steadfastly set His face to go there. The Bible says in John chapter number 6, verse number 37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John chapter number 10, verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. What does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus says, I care as much as my Father cares. And the Father says, I want you to care as much as I care. Why? Because He says, one is worth the effort. But that's not the only lesson that we learn. He says here in verse number 5, He says, and when He hath found it, He layeth it on His shoulders, rejoicing. And when He cometh home, He calleth together His friends and His neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. He says not only is one worth the effort, but He says that one is worth the excitement. You know, think about that for a second. Let's say that you're one of the sheep, and you're back there in the sheepfold. What would be your feeling when you find out that that sheep is missing again? Think about it. If you're the shepherd, you're standing over there and you're counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 51, 52, 53, 73, 83, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. Let me count those again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 95, 96, 97, 98, 90, man, let me count them. Wouldn't you count a couple of times before you head back into the wilderness? Let me count them one more time. 96, 97, 98, 99. Where is that sheep? Well, if you're one of the sheep, what are you saying? Since we don't speak sheep, let me tell you what the other sheep are saying. Man, I bet it's Bob again. Oh my goodness, where is Bob? Does anybody see Bob? Does anybody see Bob? Nobody sees Bob. Bob, Bob, where are you, Bob? Oh my goodness, Bob is lost again. Man, you know what? I told Bob when he was wandering away, I told him that he was going to get lost. Man, aren't you sick? This is the third time this week that Bob has gotten lost. I cannot believe that Bob cannot just keep with the rest of the group. What is wrong with this guy? You know what? One of these times the shepherd just needs to leave him out there. I mean, for goodness sakes, how many times is he? I am hungry. I need to get something to eat. The shepherd should be here. He should be feeding me. He should be protecting me. And what is he going to do? He's going to go back out after Bob. You know, what if the shepherd gets hurt this time? I hope Bob feels bad if the shepherd gets hurt. This is the third time this month that Bob has been lost. Isn't that what the other sheep are saying? Yeah, of course. Don't look at me like that. You know that's what they're saying, because that's what you would say. Come on. Bob, why is Bob always getting lost? But you know what? I believe that there would be that one sheep that's over in the corner. And as he hears everybody talking about Bob, he kind of has his head down. And he looks up and he says, yeah, guys, man, I know that Bob is lost again. But let me tell you, I remember that one night when I got lost. You know, I was sitting there and I was bending down to eat some grass and I heard the shepherd calling and everybody started to walk away and I was really into what I was doing and I looked around and I was lost and I just didn't know what I was going to do and I was separated from everybody else and I went in this way and I was looking for everybody and then I went in this way and I was looking for everybody and I looked all around and I just couldn't find anybody and it started to get dark and I heard the wolves howling and I heard the bears growling. And you know what? That day the shepherd came over the top of the hill looking for me. And man, I know Bob is always missing, but aren't you glad that we have a shepherd that always goes looking for lost sheep? See, I believe that when Jesus is speaking here, he's saying that one is worth the excitement. Why? Because think of the story for the sheep. Man, the wolf, he came after me and he got me down and he was carrying me off. And then all of a sudden I start to pass out. I'm losing blood. And all of a sudden I hear the shepherd shouting and he says, "Hey, over here." And he's throwing rocks and the wolf turns around and he drops me out of his mouth and he runs towards the shepherd and the shepherd takes out the knife and he kills him and he puts me over his arms and he takes me back to the fold. Let me tell you how awesome our shepherd is. See, every sheep has the same story. Every one of us has the same story. Let me tell you about the time that I was lost and Jesus came looking for me. See, one is worth the excitement because every single one has a passionate story, but not just for the sheep. Think about for the shepherd. Think about when the shepherd gets home and he gets with his friends. Think of it like David. David goes to his friends and he says, "Man, you're not going to believe this. I had a sheep that got lost. And man, I went out there and I was looking for him. And I looked on this side of the pasture. And then I went to this side. And then I found some tracks for a bear. And man, I thought that bear has got to have my sheep. And I went and I started tracking down that bear. And I followed him for miles. And I found the bear. And the bear was just about to eat the sheep. And I yelled to the bear and I took out my sling and I threw the rocks and then I slayed the bear." And what do all the friends say? They say, "Oh my goodness, how amazing. That's awesome." Why? Because every single story about rescuing a sheep doesn't show how great the sheep is. It shows how great the shepherd is. Why is there so much joy in heaven over one sheep? Because every time Jesus comes back in with another sheep over his shoulders, the angels stand up and they say, "Wow, look at the shepherd. Look at how awesome he is. Look at the awesome shepherd that would go and find one more sheep." See, what's amazing about heaven isn't that we made it in. It's that Jesus came looking for us and he found us when the devil had us down and was going to destroy us. That Jesus came and he said, "Get away from him. This is one of my sheep and I'm going to take him back home with me." Every time the angels rejoice, it's not because the sinners are so great, but because the Savior still goes looking for sinners. Isn't that why we should get excited every time someone bows their head and accepts Jesus Christ as our Savior? Because we look and say, "Jesus is still saving sinners. How amazing. He saved me. He saved you. And he's still saving people all around this world." Jesus looks and he says, "One is worth the effort." He says, "But one is worth the excitement." Isn't that what Paul says in Philippians chapter number 3? He says, "Not as though I had already attained or were perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend for that for which I am also apprehended of Jesus Christ." What does he say? I haven't attained anything. I'm just trying to figure out why Jesus came looking for me, and I'm trying to do everything that I can for him. He says, "One is worth the effort." He says, "One is worth the excitement." But look at this lastly. In verse number 4, he says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them," look at this phrase, "doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness?" You know, I struggled with this phrase for a while. Why in the world would you leave 99 sheep to go and find one? Now, the thought isn't that he leaves them unprotected, that he comes back and 50 more are lost. The thought is that he leaves them protected, maybe in a sheepfold or somewhere along those lines. But why in the world would you leave 99 sheep behind for one? I had to do some figuring, and this is just how my head works. I had to look up the cost of a sheep. I mean, how much does one sheep really cost? Is it really worth that? Well, I have found out that if you wanted to go out today and you wanted to buy a sheep, okay, I don't know why, let's just say that you did. You wanted to go out and you wanted to buy a sheep. You could buy a sheep. Isn't the internet great? I mean, I love the internet. You can buy a sheep. If you wanted to buy a sheep today, a sheep would cost you about $400. Now, day out in the wilderness, $400. Day out in the wilderness, $400. Well, Jesus, I think that I'm going to, I might just pay the $400. But okay, so I think in our culture, we may have trouble understanding exactly what Jesus' point was. So I want you to substitute one word. One word. And it's going to help everything make sense, okay? Just substitute one word. Every time you see the word sheep, substitute the word child. Now, think with me. How many of you here having 10 children, if you lost one, would just say, well, you know what? My deductible was only $1,500 at the hospital. So, you know, I would go looking for them, but I only look for them up to the 15, because, you know, I can make another one. It's okay. It's not really that big of a deal. How many of you would do that? How many of you, if you lost one child, let's say that you had 20 children tonight, how many of you having 20 children would look and you would say, well, you know what? We have 19 more, okay? And man, that one really does eat a lot. They kind of get on my nerves sometimes. They break things around the house. You know what? We have 19 more, so you know what? We just won't go after this one. How many of you would do that? What a good question on Mother's Day. Some mothers are like, yes, I have thought about that myself. Which one of you, having 99 children at home, if you lost one child, would not leave the 99 locked up in the house and go searching for that one child? Let me ask you, how long would you search for? Look at your children and tell me that you would stop after a day or two. You know what? Man, I've been out here looking. I don't know what happened to them. I have been looking. You know what? I'm just tired of looking for them. Or how many of us would say, it doesn't matter how many children that I have. If I lost one child, I would do everything that I could to get that one child back. And no one could stop me. No one could make me stop. No one could hold me back from finding my one child that is missing. That's what Jesus is talking about. See, the point isn't that there's sheep that are missing. God says, these are my children that I want to know me, that I want to receive me, that I want to spend a home in heaven, and I will sacrifice nothing to get that. I will sacrifice everything. I will stop at nothing in order to get them back. Let me ask you a question. I bet you've heard pastors say this before, that if you were the only sinner alive, Jesus Christ would have come and done the same, that died the same horrible death on the cross just for you. I bet you've heard that before. Let me ask you, how do we know that's true? Well, you just have to turn back to the book of Genesis. Let me ask you a question. In Genesis chapter number 3, man has sinned. Right? How many people would God have to have lost in order for Jesus not to have died? Well, the answer is 2, right? If God had just condemned Adam and Eve to hell, Jesus Christ would have never had to die. How do we know that God would do the same thing for you? Because when there were only 2 lives at stake, God said, I've already decided that I'm going to send my son, because even those 2, even the 2 that I walked in the garden with, that knew me, that would talk with me, that I could commune with, even those 2, I won't give up on them when they've turned their back on me. I won't give up on them when they've decided that they won't follow me. And listen, if God wouldn't give up on 2, why would he give up on almost 8 billion people that he says, I died in order to save every single one of them? He says that one is worth the effort. He says one is worth the excitement. But he says one is worth everyone. Why would one be worth everyone? Because we're not dealing with dumb animals. We're dealing with people that have souls that will spend eternity somewhere. And listen, aren't you thankful? You weren't the first person to get saved. I don't know what number you were, but I'm going to assume it's somewhere in the hundreds of millions. And aren't you glad that God didn't stop right before you got saved? I'm certainly glad that He didn't stop right before I got saved. He says that one is worth everyone, and I will do anything to save one more sinner that's lost. And God says, I want you to care just as much as I do. Listen, that's what missions is all about. That's why we go to Brazil or China or any of these countries where you support missionaries. That's what it's all about. It's about God saying, I'll do anything to see one more person, one more sinner, one more lost sheep come to know me, to have a home in heaven, to not have to spend an eternity in torment in hell. God says, there's no distance far enough. Who's the greatest missionary in Scripture? It's not the Apostle Paul, it's Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus came farther than Paul did. Jesus gave up more than Paul did. Jesus died a death worse than Paul did. Why? Because he said, I can rescue an entire race of people called humanity. And nothing is too much. Is one worth the effort, Jesus? Yes, it is. Is one worth the excitement, Jesus? Yes, it is. Is one worth everyone? Yes, it is. Why? Because at the end of the day, we can sit in a church like this, we can enjoy what God has done for us, but at the end of the day, all of us are just one. Listen, I'm not 10 people. I'm not the church. I'm just one. When we all come together, we're the church, but you know what? When you go home, you're just one. And God says, you are just as important as any other one. And I died to save you, and go and tell this world that I died to save them, because one is worth it. And just like the little boy, why do you go to a city of 3 million? You can't reach all of them. No, but it matters to this one, and it matters to this one, and it matters to this one, and it matters to this one. And as we reach people for Christ, we're making a change in their eternity. And it matters all the world to them. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time that we can spend in your house. God, I pray that you would help us to not have the worker's mentality. Lord, you say in your word that we're not hirelings, we're sons. We're joint heirs with Christ. That we're children of the Father. And God, you want us to be like David, that cares just as much as the Father does about every sheep. So God, would you challenge our hearts to see those sheep around the world, to see those sheep in our community that are lost, that the Savior has died for, and to remember that it will make all the difference in the world to every single one that we can reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be bold in our witnesses, Paul and Silas prayed for, as Peter and John prayed for. Lord, grant us boldness to tell this lost and dying world that there's a Savior named Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help us, empower us through your Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name I pray.